it just feels fair to start with you guys electing to move forward without your GM for the last two seasons. What led to the decision-making process there, and ultimately what didn't go right and how the team was being run under him?
Well, primarily we didn't get the results we wanted to achieve, that we expected to achieve. And we take responsibility for that. We hold the people we empower accountable as well. And we felt like we needed a different leadership in soccer operations. And we needed to do it now because we want to get prepared for next season. And we've got an off season to prepare for in terms of a transfer window, designated players to sign, other impact players to sign, how to build this roster, getting ready for preseason, which starts in January. We knew we needed that time. And so that's why we made the decision we made.
So how much has this been in the works of the changing of GM and making a change in the role?
We certainly have been evaluating it since the season. It became obvious to us that we were going to have a disappointing season since some of the decisions that were made haven't panned out. Steve and I have spent a lot of time and effort and energy talking through that and thinking through how do we bring this club back to the place where it belongs, the top Major League Soccer. Part of that was in the work that was done to bring in Renee Weiler as our head manager. Renee, I will remind you, was in a sporting director role most recently in Servette in Switzerland. So he has some experience in the front office as well. But primarily, he's been a coach throughout his career. But bringing him on was a first step. Then thinking through what we want to do to prepare for the offseason in terms of roster construction and also in terms of building our culture. That was really important to us. So that's a process we've been going through that allowed us to feel prepared to make a decision, an announcement in the next few days.
Yeah, I want to expand a little bit on what Jason said. We're not going to make any roster moves without Renee being supportive of it. He's a very experienced coach. We've got a great relationship with Renee. As Jason said, he's as experienced as a sporting director himself. So it was critical that in thinking about who to bring on as a head of soccer operations, someone that would work well with Renee. And that was an important component of it. So we needed to bring our coach in first, the coach we wanted. And then we're following that on with a change in the front office.
How involved has Renee been in the search?
He's been involved.
And is this an international pick that you guys are making, or are you staying stateside for this selection?
You're going to have to wait on the edge of your seat to find out. But I will tell you that we're also planning to bring in even more support in soccer operations and scouting. You know, the world of soccer is so global, and there's so much talent everywhere. But finding the right players that fit the system we want to play and that can fit in Major League Soccer is critical. So the outreach, the kind of work that's done on data and analytics, that's done on scouting in person, those are investments that we've been making, we're gonna make more of moving forward.
You mentioned involvement with Renee, but there's been multiple reports that you yourself have been involved in certain transfers. How involved do you plan to be going forward with transfers once the new soccer operations manager comes in?
Yeah, my involvement for the most part has been around Wayne Rooney coming in, Christian Benteke coming in. Steve and I had relationships that really led to those incoming signings. And for the most part, our job is to challenge, ask questions, listen, but we've primarily followed the leadership of the folks we've brought in. And maybe we've been too hands-off in that way, and we care so much about this club, but we also understand that we have to empower the people we bring in, the coach, the general manager. And we've been doing that all along. I do have a background in sport management, and I try to draw upon the relationships that I have and the experience that I have in that way. But really, in a way, to figure out how do we get the best out of the people who are operating the team.
For either one of you, you guys are saying this hiring is coming Friday. Why such a speedy process, and how much is it because of the nature of the academy system, the MLS Next Pro team? Like, how much does that play an involvement, and how fast you're moving into this process?
I'll let Jason talk about what we're doing on the MLS Next Pro front. But why are we moving fast? We have a lot of work to do, and we wanted to get put this in place before the end of the season. One, because we want to finish the season strong, but even more importantly, we want to prepare for next season. And, you know, I think John Wooden said the failure to prepare is preparing to fail. We want to be prepared. We want to be prepared for training camp. We want to be prepared with players that we're going to go after who are available internationally in January. There's a lot of work to be done, so we need to get started.
Emma, we've made a huge investment in our academy. We've gone to a residency program. We've added teams to our academy. We're doing full-time schooling and for the academy. We obviously have an investment in Loudoun United, which trains right next to us in the USL Championship, which is the second division of professional soccer in the United States. And we're on the precipice of announcing a partnership with an MLS Next Pro team, so we'll have that pathway as well. So a lot is going into that. The timing of this decision is really about getting ready for the offseason and what we need to do to elevate this club moving forward to compete next season in MLS.
Steve, you mentioned earlier the importance of signing players. One of your other partners, Joe Mamo, was here recently. He said, quote, in terms of player roster building, DC definitely needs to bring in stronger players, like just like Miami. We need to bring some older Premier League players as well, just like they did with Messi, unquote. What is your philosophy in terms of how this team should roster construct, and what players do you want to see in this team going forward?
I think the primary goal of bringing players in is so that we have a team that can compete for an MLS Cup. That's the primary focus. We also want players that can entertain the fans, that bring something special to the table that's entertaining. But, you know, from my perspective, we want to win football games. And so our focus, number one focus, and our North Star is going to be players that can help us win football games.
Jason, you like you mentioned, you have your prior relationships with Wayne and with Benteke. What do you think in terms of now Benteke is getting older, the bringing of new DPs, is that in the calling cards for the future of this club, using all three DP slots, whoever comes in?
Yeah, we were planning this season to use all of our designated player spots that are available to us to help the team. Those are two players that I think have had a really positive impact on the pitch, on the team, and brought some wonderful moments. Benteke coming off just a year ago being the Golden Boot winner, Wayne with some of the most memorable moments in club history. So really proud of that, but we've got a lot more to do. And designated players come in all kinds of ways, meaning young, older, more experienced, more up and coming. And we're gonna lean on our soccer operations team to find those opportunities and really vet them for us. But we need that. We need that influx of talent to help us. And I agree with everything Steve said. You know, our focus is, how do we win more matches? How are we more competitive? And who are the players that we can put out there that consistently allow us to do that?
A little bit more on this front, if you don't mind, and either one you can answer. We're seeing the league shift. It's had its ebb and flows when it comes to DPs and new signings. We see Messi come in. We've seen other teams, as you mentioned, choose to go younger. Where do you want? I understand what you're saying, you're going to let your soccer ops, but in terms of what you would like to see, in terms of, because it's a business as well, are you asking your soccer ops to also pay attention in terms of the business side and maybe look at some of these Premier League players or players from abroad that have a name?
You know, I don't think bringing in a name player works unless they help you win. That's why I think our North Star is who's going to help us win. Rooney helped us win. We had the best, most points in MLS over a 12-month period when Wayne was here and playing at his best. The Lucho Rue days. You know, Benteke winning the Golden Boot, he helped us get to the point where we really should have been in the playoffs last year. So those have an impact. So bringing in a name for a namesake is not the answer in our view. It's bringing in players that are going to have that kind of impact, whether they're well-known, not well-known. So we're not asking our soccer ops come up with a marketing plan. The marketing plan is win. And the marketing plan is how do we put together the right roster construction to do that. We're also fortunate that when you think about soccer as a business around the world, there are a lot of clubs that are really selling clubs. There are clubs that want to buy players and then sell them for more than they bought them for. What we're asking our players to do is come in here and help us win. And we're not looking as a selling club to try to drive a revenue stream. Sure, there will be certain players that want to try going somewhere else in the world, like a Kevin Paredes, who we loved having with us, or Mattia Akinboni, who was just getting started with us when he made the decision he wanted to go to Europe. And we respect that, and we want to show that there's a pathway for players who want to experience soccer elsewhere. But our focus is on DC United and on trying to build a club and a roster that can win.
In terms of the academy system, you mentioned that earlier about certain players, and you named certain players. How much do you plan to now invest more into that academy system? And you mentioned the residency and everything else. How much are you going to implore that whoever comes in your soccer ops, that they do like other MLS teams and bring in those kids more often than in the past here at DC?
Yeah, I'll start. I think it's absolutely critical. I think one of our competitive advantages in the league is that we're in an area where there is unbelievable level of soccer talent and interest. And it behooves us as a club to take advantage of that. That's why we're tripling our investment in our academy. And that's why we're taking young people and providing an education for them and having them full-time as young soccer players. Because we think it's an enormous opportunity. And we've produced a lot of very, very good young players. You mentioned Kevin Paredes and Griffin Yao, and there have been many others. But that's the tip of the iceberg. There's a tremendous opportunity here to develop our youth talent.
What lessons have you learned in the last 5 years? You know, the pandemic came and went, and then the club took like multiple changes in terms of GM, coaching. What have you guys learned in terms of your ownership and what has gone on and transpired these last 5 or 6 years with all these changes that have gone on?
I think one thing we've learned is that where the club is right now, we needed a manager who had international experience in various leagues around the world that had been successful. We had gone, since the pandemic ended, in the last several years, we've gone with young up-and-coming managers. Super talented, potentially. The Hernan Losadas, the Troy Lesanes were the two picks, and Wayne Rooney as a young up-and-coming manager. And I think we sat back and realized, you know, the season here is very challenging. There's a lot of adversity you go through during the course of a year, the ups and downs. Having someone who's been there, who knows timeliness of substitutions, timeliness of how to inspire his players to get the most out of them, how to challenge them. We went with someone we felt had that level of experience, had won on three continents, in Asia, Africa, and in Europe. And we felt like that was really important for us in terms of boosting the club, its morale, and also its performance.
I think there are a lot of lessons to learn, and certainly we've made our share of mistakes. I think one of the things that we're determined is that we are able to make better decisions on the players that we bring in. And that's easy to say, but it requires bringing talent into your soccer operations, scouting talent. One of the things that attracted us to Renee, as we mentioned earlier, is not only has he been a coach, he's been a sporting director. So he's a keen evaluator of talent. We're investing in bringing in a new director of soccer operations. We're going to bring in high-level scouts in addition to that. So we're going to invest in the talent of the people who are evaluating talent. And I think that's something that is going to be a focus going forward. I think it's critically important. Because in our league, with designated players and limitations on roster in terms of spending, you can't cover up a mistake by just spending more money. You have to make fewer mistakes, and we're determined to make fewer mistakes.
You mentioned their investment in coaching and academy, but the fans, they're going to obviously say, what about the players on the field? My first question is the obvious one, Christopher Benteke's contract is expiring. What is your standpoint on his future with DC United?
We love Christian. We had lunch with him yesterday. We think the world of him as a person, and certainly as a player, he's been highly productive for us. And, you know, we hope he stays with us long term. So those discussions are ongoing with him. But we certainly need to arm him with other designated player talent around him. And we need to elevate the entire club in the talent level. So yes, Christian is a focus for us this offseason and certainly the rest of the season, and hoping he stays with us. But we are certainly looking at other players as well. And to add to the talent level and to potentially give him more of an opportunity because there's less of tension and focus on him.
As great a player as Christian Benteke is, he may be even a better person. He's a credit to our soccer club, and we'd love Christian to be here long term.
So, you know, players, the previous GM mentioned to me in a previous interview that both of you had said there was no limit in terms of going out and spending, but DC dropped from 12th most spending team to 26th this season. Does this club have the means to continue spending with the upper echelons of this league? And do you plan to give whoever comes in as your new GM the funds to go get these players that you're talking about, your DPs, your other high-level, high-priced players?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of our concern was that we didn't expect to drop from 12th in spend. We didn't find the right targets, and we didn't confirm their arrival with us. So that's about execution, about finding the right players and bringing them in and closing those deals. So we're going to be hyper-focused on not just identifying talent that we want, but bringing them to DC United and touching their heart in doing that and recruiting them to come here and compensating them properly. So yeah, the resources are there. We've got to bring in the right kind of talent and the players who are going to help us and help us fit and who want to be here.
How much of a time frame can you give Renee to excel with this team? We've had, like I mentioned, three coaches in about a five-year frame, not even including interims. How much of a time frame are you giving Renee and the new GM to get a handle of things here in DC and to push where you want the club to go?
Well, I would just say after, you know, if he continues his record after the first five matches, we'll have a lot of time because he's been undefeated. No, but in all seriousness, bringing someone in like Renee with his experience level and his track record of winning in so many different places, there's a comfort level that we know that he knows how to figure it out. And so what we've looked at in the past is when things were going off the rails or in the wrong direction, and we had a manager who we thought was super talented but didn't have that level of experience, we had to make a decision on when to stop it and when to go in with someone different. With Renee, there's a real comfort level. We're trying to build something that's sustainable, that is consistently competitive, and we have all the confidence in the world now that he's going to be able to do that. We've got to get him the right players to do that as well.
And you feel the same way, you know, putting in a time frame, how long?
Absolutely. Obviously, we want to see continuing improvement. We've already seen it. It's very, very clear. We've played some of the tougher teams in our schedule, and we've played quite well. So, and there hasn't been a change really in players. It's not going to be an immediate, you know, it's not immediate. We're going to add significant players in the offseason, and we expect we'll see improvement, significant improvement next year.
There was 16,000 announced attendance at an Orlando game, but one watching on Apple TV can clearly see the great seats on the supporter section alongside the field level. You know, there have been reports of supporters boycotting, some giving away their season tickets. How do you guys feel about how fans are showing their sentiment about everything that's going on this season?
Yeah, I'm a fan myself. And when DC United loses, I mean, my family doesn't even want to be around me because of how upset I am. So I understand how the fans feel. We've got to put a better product on the pitch. We've got to do better outreach to the fans. But I will tell you, having been here when this place is rocking, there's no better place to be than at Audi Field when DC United is playing well and winning.
Yeah, listen, I respect our fans. I respect their passion for the club, their frustration when things aren't going well on the pitch. I feel that energy, and I feel the same way when we're losing. So I'm a kindred spirit in that way, and I understand that fans are frustrated because I'm frustrated, and we've got to turn this around on the pitch to create a winning environment, and that's what everyone wants. And I think the passion of our fans, we miss our supporters when they're not here terribly. I think the whole of Audi Field does. But I understand their frustration. I'm sympathetic to it because I understand it myself and I'm living it. And we've got to turn things around and create a winning atmosphere.
I will say, I've talked to a number of fans before our last game, which was a draw. And a number of them have said to me, this looks different. This looks better. This looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be consistent. We've got to bring a good product. This is a great fan base. It's a spectacular fan base. We bring a great product. Fans are going to be here, and this place is going to be rocking again.
Yeah, and I think those fans who haven't seen any of the last five matches where we've been unbeaten, and haven't seen what Rene has already instilled, they're missing out because I think he's changed the atmosphere, the mindset of our players, and the mindset of our fan base and community who's been here to see what's going on because they're playing differently. And looking forward to more of that in the weeks ahead in our final four matches to hope we can finish strong.
So for you personally, when you hear chants of sell the team, how do you guys feel about that and how do you take it?
You have to have a thick skin. It just makes me more determined to have success here.
I feel the same way. I think it's part of what makes this fan base so passionate and care so deeply and so spectacular is they want to win. And I understand that. And our resolve is deeper than ever to create the kind of success we had when we opened Audi Field in that first year together.
In terms of Audi Field and investment, there was a report back in January about the club's desire to expand this stadium. And that would be part of like fan experience, but also the opportunity to have more fans in the building. Where are you in that process? And what do you hope in the future of Audi Field and possible expansion of this building?
When I put my Audi Field hat on, not just my DC United hat on, I think about the kind of events and the community engagement center Audi Field is in an area that had nothing before. We've now got 6,000 residential units going into Buzzard Point, where the connectivity between the wharf and the Navy Yard in what is now the new heart of the city. And I think about that, I think about the expansion for the Spirit, for DC United, for the Defenders. We've got the Howard Hampton Truth and Service Classic coming this Saturday. We've had great concerts here at the stadium. We want this to be a community venue that all of the DMV gets to love and enjoy. And the seating and the sight lines are incredible here for all of those events. So that's really important to us. Those conversations are ongoing with the district. You know, I've talked to the mayor, I've talked to the members of the council about it. There's a lot of excitement and interest in programming Audi Field 12 months out of the year, 365 days a year, doing upwards of 150 events. And that comes with that kind of expansion and that experiential level that we can give to fans. So yes, that is clearly something we're thinking about. Audi Field right now is one of the smaller venues in Major League Soccer. When we built it, it wasn't that way, but you've seen the growth of soccer and the excitement around the sport of soccer in the United States, and it's only growing further. So we want to think about how to future-proof this place and how to make it the temple and the community center that it is.
Would that only happen with help from the council, or would you also be open to bringing in this additional ownership investment to the team?
We're talking about all of that together. We've got an ownership group, Steve and myself, that is very committed to Audi Field, very committed to the district, very committed to DC United, obviously. And we're going to bring the resources to bear that we need to bring. Building this stadium, I got here after 17 years when I first announced that I was coming in to join the club. People said, you'll never get a stadium built. You're going to be at RFK. You're one of the legacy clubs. Look at Chicago. Look at Boston. Look at all these cities around the country that have legacy MLS teams. They don't get new stadiums. You know, all these ownership groups prior to you had tried to do that. You're really naive if you think you're going to get a new stadium, especially in the district. If you're going to do it anywhere, go to Howard County, go to Baltimore, go to, you know, Prince William County. Maybe they'll get you a stadium. But we locked in on being in the district. We locked in on building this neighborhood and making it the heartbeat of Washington, D.C. We were able to accomplish that. Then a lot of people said, you're never going to get a performance center that's really challenging. The team's never had their own training facility. We did that in Loudoun County. We built a really good partnership out there. Now we're thinking about what's the next phase of that infrastructure build. How do we build the foundation for DC United to prosper for the next 30 years? And we believe a big part of that is the public-private partnership that we did to build Audi Field to make it even more enhanced. And that's what we're looking towards.
Steve? I think Jason said it perfectly.
Lastly, for obviously WTOP has a lot of DC United fans that listen. If there's any message that you'd like to send to the fans about how this season is ending and how you hope for them to look forward to the future, what message would you like to send to the fans?
I mean, I just the message I would send the fans is we deeply care about this club. We understand the traditions of the club. We understand the responsibility that we have. And I can tell you personally, I'm going to do everything I can to bring this club back to its glory days.
This club has become a huge part of my life's work, and we're going to do everything we can. I've got a fantastic partner in Steve Kaplan. We spend days, nights, weekends thinking about the club, how we can make it better, how we can improve it, and we're not going to rest until we've gotten that way.